Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
Good morning. Welcome to another edition of Adventures with Companionship with myself, Rufile, and the amazing Dr. Bill Price. Today we're dealing with another session, continuing on, intimacy and what Dr. Bill was speaking about in one of the previous sessions that we had. And I'm just going to welcome him, and he's going to be telling us more about how you deal in intimacy. Good morning and welcome, Dr. Bill Price.
Well, thank you so much, Rufile. I feel like a sun ray has broken through the window and has fallen on my face as I wake up. And its warmth and its light invites me into a new day.
Oh. Wait.
And that's what I feel like when you speak to me. Thank you for being the sunshine person in my life.
Oh,
Rufile.
It's only a pleasure.
It is such a wonder and a privilege to be with you.
Yeah.
So today we want to talk a little bit about adventures in companionship, but companionship in its essence is connection. Yeshua in the Gospel of John chapter 17 in verse 3 quotes, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only God, as I know you, and that they may be at one with you, as I am at one with you." Eternal life is unity with God the Father. And it's sad that the church is overemphasizing, don't get me wrong, is overemphasizing Jesus when it's Jesus' job to introduce us to the Father.
Yeah.
And I cannot tell you how many people I've met who, when you start talking to them about, so tell me about your relationship with the Father God, that to them, it's like, no, I just have a relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I don't have a relationship with God. And I'm going, well, according to Scripture, eternal life is union with God and knowing God. So if you don't have union with God and don't know God, you're missing out on the DNA of what eternal life is all about. And we trying to replace it with church and trying to replace it with giving and singing and performance and winning souls and reading the Bible and doing a million and two other things. Going over to China, and I don't like rice, so I will not visit China. So when we look at our relationship, we realize that a quality relationship lies in a proactive approach to relationships, a conscious, proactive approach. Looking at Yeshua, Jesus, who lived his life for 33 and a half years on the planet, he was the most proactive, aware person on the planet. There was not a day that he woke up that he didn't have a proactive plan. He'd say, now, today, I'm going to go to Galilee. Today, we're going to go here. Today, this is going to happen. He'd spend moments of now moments with his team of learners or disciples that he chose that would walk in his footsteps and in the dust of his shoes. And they would sit around a fire at night and they would be calm. And he would look across the flames and he would share thoughts with them and share how he thinks and feels. On one occasion, he shares and says, guys, I'm really feeling alone. I'm feeling as if I need some help here. Could you come and pray with me? Could you come aside with me? Come apart with me? And so he would share intimate moments. But they were very proactive and they were very planned. He didn't share moments like that were not planned. He wouldn't have done that. And if we let our life become proactive and our relationships become proactive, we will not allow our feelings to override or dictate what is happening in our proactive relationship. Because in a proactive relationship, we consciously decide, you know, who we want to meet, where we want to meet them, with whom we want to meet, who we want to spend more time with, how deep do we want to go into this relationship and what's effort I need and time and energy. So putting it bluntly, we want to be constructive in our relationship. So I'd like you to imagine yourself. So if you're seated or you're standing, I want you to imagine a circle that extends. So if you put your two arms out straight, parallel to the ground,
yeah,
that's your inner circle. So if you create a circle like that, that's the first circle, your circle of intimacy. Now, the circle of intimacy, they tell us at any given point in time, most people only have a relationship on the planet for your whole lifetime with an average of about 150 people. So universities have done their studies, and there have been clever people that have done that, and they said, okay, fine, mostly you have about 150. Jesus, Yeshua, when he ascended into heaven after the resurrection, there was anything between 500 and 900 people. So he had extended his circle of intimacy, which contained three disciples, Peter, John, James. There was a first intimacy with himself and with God, so that was the inner circle with him and his Father. We are at one. I'm at one with God, and I'm at one with myself.
Yeah.
Then I have an intimacy of X amount of people. So there was Mary in that circle, of course, his brother John, and the other brothers that Jesus had. They were all part of his family and were part of the intimacy. His disciples, he was quite intimate with them, so I put them into that space as well. And then beyond that circle, another circle, which is called your circle of friendship. So the circle of friendship, I take the disciples out of the intimate circle and I put them into this circle. I'll tell you why. In John 15, Yeshua invites his disciples and he says to them, I no longer want to call you my friends. I no longer want to call you disciples. I want to call you my friend. And that is I've hardly heard any messages or preachers preach with fire and brimstone and excitement about being a friend of Jesus or being a friend of God, for that matter. Moses was a friend of God. Abraham was a friend of God. Enoch walked with God. Ezekiel was a friend of God. Jeremiah was a friend of God. Jesus invites his disciples to become friends by invitation. He says, I want you to stop being a learner now, and I want you to become closer to me. I want you to become a friend. So the circle of friendship, these are people who are close to you, but there's a different kind of intimacy that's involved here. Jesus with his disciples, or Yeshua with his disciples, walked with them, lived with them, shared with them, supported them financially. They shared dreams, they shared good news, they had troubles, they had to run away from people that were stoning them. And so they were in the good and the bad and the ugly together. So that's what the circle of friendship is all about. And that's how you know your true friends, is what have they gone through with you in life. They've gone through the rough and tough, or they're only there when the things go good. Do they only show up when it's party time, or do they show up when it's sorrow time and when we weep and when I'm sore and when I'm hurting and when I'm anxious? Then there's a third circle that you draw beyond the circle of friendship, and that's a circle called the circle of acquaintances, the circle of companions. And this is mainly like my co-workers, my local community, the people that I've acquainted with, my neighbors. I meet with them. I see them on a frequent basis, but they're not my friends. They don't fall into my friendship category or into my intimacy category. They can be my doctor, my hairdresser, the person that cleans my home, the person that works in my garden. They can be the people that, and I've got a lovely old African gentleman. He calls himself Joe, and I meet with him. This morning, I warmed his food for him. I made him a cup of tea, and he was just clapping hands and being thankful. He's 74 years of age and filled with the love of God, and And I just have to open up with a sentence. I say, Joe, God is good. And then he claps his hands and drops the broom and drops what stops mowing the lawn. He says, all the time. And he shakes his hands in the air and does a little dance. The most exciting, energetic 74-year-old. I say, one day when I'm 74, I want to be as energetic as you, Joe. And so those are people in the circle of participation. And then there's a circle, the last circle, which is called the circle of exchange. And that circle is a circle with people that we make transactions with. They are people that we buy from across the counter, people that we relate to, the people that we pass by quite often and we wave at them and they wave at us, but we don't even know their name, we don't even know who they are. Your doctor could also fall into that category. Or, and everybody that we neglect as friends eventually move into the circle called the circle of exchange. They move into the outer circle. They move into the circle where they are, we're transactional with them. We are, they no longer, you do something for me, I do something for you.
That's right.
A transactional thing. But how do we draw close to each other? How do we indicate that I want you to move from one circle to the next? And that is based on a proactive decision that I have to make to ask myself the question, do I have a capacity to have more people around me intimately? Well, if you look at the strategy of Yeshua, he decided that he needs to have 12 people around him. That's excluding Mary and excluding some other ladies. So Jesus didn't only have male friends. Yeshua didn't only have male friends. He had females friends. He had friends. One person who was his best friend was Lazarus. That was also very, a very close friend that he had. He wept over him when he heard that he died.
So
you need to have friends that when they die, you will weep. That's the kind of friend you need to have. Someone that touches your life. Someone that means something to you. Someone that has added value to your life. The others, I'm thankful for them. I'm grateful to them, etc. But, this person I'll cry for.
Yeah.
And we need to have people like that in terms of our dimension. So I want to encourage in your journey in adventures of companionship to realize that you cannot be intimate with everybody in every single circle. You can only be intimate with the people that are in the close circle with you. And possibly a certain amount of intimacy in the friendship circle.
Yeah.
But the outer two circles, the circle of participation or the circle of exchange, they are circles with less intimacy and they are far more general. And we need to have them all in our life because we need to allow our light, that is God's love in our lives, to shine out to others. We need to touch our universe or our world, so to speak, with the light that is within us, with the love that is within us. We need to reach out. And you don't even have to do anything about it. Just be, because you're a city on a hill that cannot be hid.
Absolutely.
And the light shines.
And that is true.
Mm.
That is true. Oh, because I actually wanted to ask, right, for people who are trying to, let's say you have friends and you're trying, you know, to build on the connectedness, you know, to connect with them on an intimate level. But then they give you so much love that you feel overwhelmed by it. How? Well, what usually happens when people are overwhelmed by the love that they're receiving from people around them?
Overwhelm is an emotion that we sometimes feel that we've had. It's, if you could picture a glass of water being filled with a tap of water, running water.
Yeah.
And the water is running over. The glass is already full. And the interesting thing about it, the water that's coming in is replacing the water that's in the glass at the same time. So because running water is running into the glass, the same water can't stay in the glass.
Yeah.
So that's called overflow. And that's called overwhelm. That's when the mind goes, oh, I'm getting too much now. And too much of a good thing is a good thing. But it's also a very interesting thing. So when I'm being overwhelmed by people's love, the first thing I'm going to sense is the sense of overwhelm. It's kind of, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know where do I pack all this love? Where do I condense it and put it into? Do I hide it? Do I hold it? Do I hug it? Do I let it go? Do I just lift my arms open and let it flow through me? Which is usually the best thing to do, is just to flow with the moment and go, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for so much love. I really appreciate that love and I want to embrace it and I don't want to hold it tight. I want to allow it to flow through me. But then overwhelm could also be a thing that I have a need in me for love.
Mm.
And I am experiencing it as overwhelmed because I've been so empty for so long. I had an experience similar to that just after the first shutdown in COVID, where I went to my biokineticist who gives me sports massages because I never stopped exercising. And I just said to him, do you know what? I'm feeling in this massage right now that my body has been craving for touch.
Yeah.
That there's this craving that we have. There's this craving within us that when we get love or we get touch or we get affection or we get attention or we get someone daring to listen to us, that it feels like it's overwhelming. It feels like it's been accentuated. It's been magnified. That's another way of feeling overwhelmed. It's magnified. And so we embrace it. We're thankful for it. But we have a capacity to only be able to contain so much.
Yeah.
And to be aware of that. But be thankful for it and not hold back on it. And be humble to acknowledge it to people that are giving it to you, going, thank you for giving me so much love. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate what you're doing right now. And if I could just have a moment in my now and crunch my toes and take a deep breath and go, so this is love. This is what love feels like. Wow. This is what love is doing to me right now. I'm thankful. And just breathe in and out.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much for that. And I believe it will actually help someone out there. Thank you. This is Dr. Bill Price in Adventures in Companionship. We'll see you next time.
It's more than radio. It's a way of life. It is 657 AM.
If you need prayer, please send your request to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za or WhatsApp 067-429-7564 or go to Radio Pulpit website on www.radiopulpit.co.za.
At Radio Pulpit, we love the interaction we have with our listeners on all the social media platforms. It is also our way of giving everyone a voice that can be heard all over the world. Unfortunately, we have been experiencing huge difficulties with WhatsApp for a while now, and we are now forced to find a viable alternative. That alternative is called Telegram. Telegram is an app that works exactly the same as WhatsApp, and it uses the same telephone number as well. All you need to do to be able to chat with your favorite presenter is to download the Telegram app onto your phone and send your message or voice note the same way you always did. We will then be able to receive and answer your message faster, and the privacy on this app is much better too. So, whether you have an iPhone or an Android, the app pic is a white paper plane in a blue circle. Please download the Telegram app right away and make life easier for everyone.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.